Hey there, welcome to Growth Minded. I'm Ed Hayes. My mission is to empower others to be the best they can be through the Growth Minded podcast, exclusive interviews, and personal training. In today's fast-paced world, businesses are facing scrutiny from stakeholders, including board members, regulators, customers, and prospects. So trust and accountability are becoming more important now than ever, which is why CPA firms, for example, provide system and organizational controls, which is something that allows companies to build trust with stakeholders by proactively taking stock of the controls in place to mitigate risk and basically ensure transparency into the effectiveness of the risk management efforts. So to get your attention, to sustain longevity, you have to evolve. So whether you're an individual or an organization. So I was a little intimidated when I first heard about SOC reporting. So after speaking a little bit with Scholastica, I'm excited for her to have this platform to share and explain what SOC reporting is to the average person to understand. And hopefully by the end of this episode, everyone will be ready to take their CPA exam after this podcast. Kidding, obviously. But today, again, I'm joined by Scholastica Okoye, an experienced assurance associate at BDO USA. Scholastica is an accounting professional with consulting experience and transferring into audit services and working on acquiring her CPA license. Quick side note, she also helped me secure like my first interview with Johnson & Johnson. I don't think I mentioned that to you, but I remember being at RUSA one time and I was telling you about an interview, and then you're like, did you follow up with the recruiter? And I said, no. So, you know, a day or two goes by and I followed up and then I took it from there. But so, you know, outside of the auditing and the expertise, she also has a lot of practical suggestions. So that's now a part of my interview process. So I just thank you for that and welcome Scholastica to Growth Minded today.
Thank you so much for having me, Eddie.
Yep, looking forward to learning a little bit more about SOC reporting as basically, you know, an average, I bet, probably even below average understanding of what SOC reporting is. So I'll kick it off to you to explain a little bit about SOC reporting, why they're necessary, and maybe what some of the benefits are to the audience.
Yep. So SOC reporting, which as Eddie mentioned earlier, stands for Systems and Organization Control Reporting, not to be confused with Security Operations Center, which is something, you know, completely different, is basically producing different kinds of reports that are going to be enabling a user to be comfortable with a service organization giving them services. So at the end of the day, you know, as we're producing these reports, and it might be like a SOC 1, SOC 2, or SOC 3 report, or other different kinds of variations, that's at the end of the day what we're trying to do, give comfort and build trust. And also, you know, it allows the service organizations that we help to actually save time. So instead of having them, you know, sort of run around, have their own internal auditors try to gather the information year over year and sort of prove that, you know, they're good enough to provide a service, they can just sort of whip up the SOC report and, you know, work with our auditors to make sure that they're getting that information through to their clients.
Cool. So for an example, what would be an example of like a business and maybe some of the, maybe an example of a regulator or a customer, for example? I'm not too well versed in that piece of it.
Yep. So for example, say I'm starting a company that sells clothing. And as a result of, you know, starting my company and, you know, developing my business, there is another firm that maybe I'm interested in working with or partnering with. And that firm is a little bit more established. Say, in order for that firm to feel comfortable doing business with me as I'm like the new person on the block, you know, they might ask for a SOC report to say, hey, like, you know, we just want to make sure, you know, with our risks associated with our business that when you come in and maybe help us as some kind of a third party vendor for, you know, clothing or whatever, that, you know, your standards with the way that you're running your business is going to be up to par with the standards that we require. And depending on, you know, if they're looking for a SOC 1 or a SOC 2, you know, that sort of need is going to change related to that service. So if it's a SOC 1, it could be that, you know, they're more focused on the financial reporting side of things. They just want to make sure, you know, all of the financial reporting related controls in place are secure. And I can go into detail about what controls are, because I maybe the average person doesn't necessarily know.
Yeah, that would be a big help, I think.
Yep, sure. So a control, and what in this context we're referring to is like internal controls, is basically those things that a business has that they use to manage the risks associated with their business. So say, for example, I work at a retail company. We're going to have a lot of transactions during the day. We want to make sure that as we're selling transactions with, you know, the public, maybe we're selling to the public as a retailer, that our transactions are accurate. And so we might have, as an internal control, for example, that the person who handles the cash register, you know, isn't also, you know, maybe recording the transaction, like accounts payable, that kind of thing, you know, to make sure that, you know, as our transactions are settling, they're settling in the right way and being recorded in the right way. So there are a bunch of different kinds of internal controls, some that are, you know, related to financial reporting, and therefore we call them financial related internal controls, as well as those that are non-financial controls that are not related to financial reporting, but, you know, are also going to be important for the business's goals, because, you know, a business typically has more goals than just meeting the, you know, annual, quarterly, you know, biannual financial reporting requirements. So yeah, that's an internal control. And in the context of SOC reporting, you know, we're always, you know, controls is the name of the game. We're looking at controls that are going to be either related to internal control over financial reporting, which is ICFR, which I just sort of explained, and then related to trust services criteria, which, you know, there are a couple in there, you know, that are related to more so like security and other different kinds of things. So SOC 1 is going to be focused on any internal controls related to ICFR, the internal control over financial reporting, whereas a SOC 2 is going to be related to those trust services criteria. There are about five of them that are like specifically delineated by the AICPA and has recently been released through SSAE 18 standards.
So it sounds like the SOC 1 is more financial driven. Am I following correctly? And then SOC 2, what's the difference between the 1 and 2?
Yep. So, yep, as you said, the SOC 1 is more so related to any of those internal controls that are going to affect the financial reporting process. So maybe as a typical like financial statement auditor is going through and they're looking, you know, at the balance sheets, they're looking at the, you know, the various financial statements, the income statements, that kind of thing. They're going to be looking at the numbers, but they're going to bring in, or they're going to want to get a SOC report from a SOC auditor to help inform them about, you know, maybe the different kinds of like systems, technology, and different things that will touch those accounts that are on the balance sheet, or those transactions that are on the income statement. So for example, we might be looking at, you know, maybe code changes related to a system that is used to record accounts payable transactions, and looking to see, you know, whether or not that system is operating properly, whereas the financial statement auditor is going to be looking at what's actually the journal entry, you know, in the accounts payable account, like, you know, did that tie to the general ledger, you know, when the books closed, did they close in the right way, were there, you know, sort of risks involved and that kind of thing. And so that's all SOC 1. SOC 2 is different because it can have, you know, it can touch both financial and non-financial internal controls. Basically, the SOC 2, you're going to have the trust services criteria be the center, focus, and attention. And these trust services criteria, I feel like they are named appropriately because they are basically those criteria which an organization is going to use to determine whether or not they can trust the services that a certain organization is providing. So the trust services criteria, which the AICPA came out with, there were like several different versions. There's like a whole history. I'm not going to go into it right now. But yeah, the trust services criteria, there are about five of them, one of which is required, four of which, you know, clients sort of like add on as is necessary for the business. But the five are security, processing integrity, privacy, transactions processing. And I feel like I'm missing one in there. Basically, there are five, and security is required. I can go into, you know, sort of each of the five as well, but the SOC 2 is specifically related to all of the internal controls that are specifically related and delineated, like specifically to those different five criteria, or the one or whichever one is going to be thrown into the audit. So that's SOC 2. And, you know, the SOC 1, SOC 2, another difference between them is also the users. So the users of a SOC 1 report are typically going to be your financial statement auditors because, you know, they're the ones that are doing the audit, but also it can be members of management who are, you know, caring about the bottom line side of things. Maybe it's someone in management who is going to be engaging in new strategic partnerships and just wants to know, you know, from a high level point of view, as it relates to the bottom line specifically and the financial reporting process, what risks a new vendor they might bring in may pose. Whereas a SOC 2, the user is restricted to typically people in the IT organization, people who are touching the systems or the organizational like controls that are related on a day-to-day basis. So people who are like the supervisors of the coders, like they might be like a COO, chief risk officer, you know, CTO, CIO, you know, depending, that kind of thing for a SOC 2. People that read a SOC 2, and it's going to be the one with the most information between the SOC 1, SOC 2, and SOC 3, they're the ones who actually understand what's going to be in that report because not everyone is. So that's SOC 2. And then the SOC 3, which, you know, I know I talked a little bit about SOC 1, SOC 2, but the SOC 3 is, you know, the easy one where it's like, you know, some of these companies, they want to maintain trust with the public. That's the only one that they can sort of physically share technically with the public, that the way that it's produced, you know, SOC auditors will still look at the information from the perspective of the same way they would look at a SOC 2. But when they actually produce the report is like a super abridged version with like barely any information, basically just confirming, you know, this company's okay, kind of thing. And that can be posted to our clients' websites who request it.
Cool. So it definitely sounds like you're explaining the differences there. Yeah. SOC 1 report sounds like more financial driven and the users are different. Same with SOC 2, the difference having non-financial controls as well. I'd be interested to, maybe as the call goes on to hearing more about what a non-financial control may be, because we have an example of a financial control that you mentioned earlier, just off the top of my head. And then, so SOC 3 reporting sounds more like, you know, obviously a brief version and available for the public. So as the call goes on, feel free to explain a little bit about maybe some non-financial controls. And then, you know, for the average person, let's say I have a business, mm-hmm. and I know what SOC report would be right for me to use.
Yep. So on the question about like non-financial controls, it's going to be those things that aren't necessarily touching the financial statements. So for example, when you hire someone into the firm or into your company, there's going to be certain things associated with that process that are not going to end up on your financial statements. Typically with the hiring process, the thing that you can think of that does show up is like say like with the timesheets, like the salaries and the wages. But different things like maybe somebody got, you know, promoted, that may not actually flow through to the financial statements immediately, but there are going to be some internal controls around that, that, you know, maybe that process is, you know, defined and delineated properly for the company to be able to make those, you know, have that kind of performance cycle in a proper way. Even at the beginning, when you're first hiring a candidate, things like being able to specifically define like the job description, you know, very basic things that like are incredibly necessary, you know, for the business to function and or will help them to meet their goals, but aren't necessarily going to touch the financial statements like as directly or, you know, end up on any of the financial reports. So specifically in non-financial control. So for example, yeah, would be that the job description is defined and, you know, provided to the new hire and, you know, upon hire, the new hire is trained and that training is tracked on XYZ platform, you know, something like that. It might be like a non-financial control.
Let's say I have a business and I'm not sure which SOC report would be right for me. How could I be able to make the
call?
Yeah.
Yep. So it would depend on the service that you're looking for. So say there's company A, company B. Company A is the service organization and company B is the user organization, meaning company A is trying to provide services to company B. Company A is the vendor. Company B is the one evaluating whether or not they want to even hire this vendor. Typically, and this is a huge value of the SOC reports, even these days, like clients, and when I say clients, I mean my client's client, they won't hire my client unless that SOC report is in. Like they don't even want to do business with them otherwise. So we have the A, the B. And so, you know, in this case, one thing that you might want to consider is what is the service, what specific service is the service organization providing to the user organization? Because depending on that service, it may make sense to do a SOC 1, a SOC 2, or if a SOC 2 is being done, having an add-on of specific services. So say, for example, it's like financial services that are being provided. And you know, that may involve, if a SOC 2 is chosen, like the transactions processing, you know, trust service criteria. Whereas, or at least processing integrity, sorry, I confuse the two sometimes, transaction processing integrity. But yeah, so that may be involved. So that's one piece of it. What is the actual service being provided? The second thing I would consider is like the context in which the service is being provided. Is it the, like, is it the first time that this, you know, service is being provided? Because if it's the first time, it's the first SOC report, you know, you may want to, you know, sort of do a type one, which I didn't go into, but I can go into later. And another thing that needs to be considered is who the user is. So on the client side, that is company B side, who is actually the one who signed to say, we want this service and we need information from you about how you're going to affect our company risks. Because depending on the person, I mean, if it's like the COO, they're going to, you know, maybe want to see a few different things versus, you know, some other member of the IT organization or something like that, you know, depending. Sometimes in some cases, it can even be a regulator who is the user of the SOC report. So that needs to be considered as well. So in the case that, say, for example, it's like management and the management is in technology, most likely a SOC 2 is going to make sense for them. If it's management, but it's like the CEO, probably a SOC 1. And then additionally, if it's like, if it's an auditor, if it's like a financial statement auditor, it's going to be SOC 1. And also if the context is, you know, we're trying to meet financial reporting requirements, period, it's a SOC 1. If they're trying to get all the information possible, it would be a SOC 2. Mm-hmm. And then if they are members of the public, it would have to be a SOC 3. It can't be SOC 1 or SOC 2 because it's restricted. So that's, you know, sort of a few different things that I would consider, you know, in these things. And one thing I do want to say, I am a BDO employee. Probably should have said this earlier. I am a BDO employee, but, you know, everything that I say in this chat, I don't want it to be construed as like legal advice or financial advice, or any kind of thing. It is my personal opinion, you know, based on what I've seen so far.
That's a great explanation there. It sounds like it depends. So I was asking,
yep.
I'm a business owner. How do I know when the SOC is right for me? And it depends, mm-hmm. you're saying, on the user. If it's more financial driven, SOC 1. If you're the CEO, maybe SOC 1. And yep. like you said, this is just your advice. And
mm-hmm. not necessarily representing the views yep. of BDO.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
So, that definitely answered my question. As let's say I am a CEO in this case, I have the SOC 1 report, it comes on my desk. What would be the most important section of the report that I want to take a look at if I want to get just a quick high level overview? Because from what I've heard, it can be pretty extensive, right? And from what I've watched too, companies may, and correct me if I'm wrong, but companies may only go through the entire SOC report if there was a risk caught. Is that correct?
Yeah. So a lot of people may not actually read the whole report. So it's definitely good to know those spots where it's going to be the key. For a CEO, I would say the actual opinion is important, you know, to see whether or not it's unqualified, qualified, and we call unqualified reports like a sort of a clean report, meaning to say that, you know, we sort of analyzed everything. And as far as we know, related to the controls from what we tested, you know, we're not going to be qualifying the report, as in I'm saying that, and the company is basically not going to meet, you know, the requirements to the level necessary. But yeah, the opinion is probably a very important section to look at, probably the first thing I would look at. The second thing that might be important also is those things related to like user entity controls, because when we provide a SOC report, typically, like depending on the way that it's scoped out, we may or may not be giving an opinion on any entities related to the service organization that affect, the way that a control can be carried out, as well as, you know, on the user side too. So it's important to sort of look and see, you know, what the implications may be, you know, from the user entity control sections that may be called out, and like the CUECs as well, which is like complementary user entity controls. And I mean, if they want some like extra reading, they can look into like the description of the system if they want, but a CEO may not need that level of information. I would say the first two is where I would focus on.
Great, thank you. And I also saw, like being in a supply chain organization, I saw there were SOC reports for specifically a supply chain organization. So to me, so far it makes, I'm sure there's a gap in my understanding, but I know supply chain organizations have many stakeholders, suppliers, and processes to follow. Mm-hmm. Can you provide additional details on why SOC reports may be necessary for specifically supply chain organizations?
Yes, because there are a lot of entities that need to be considered, like bottom line, in the way that a supply chain company does business. And so that report is sort of specifically called out to meet that need, basically. But it, you know, in terms of the way that we're going to, you know, look at things, we're always at the baseline going to have some level of, you know, the approach to SOC 1, the approach to SOC 2 handy as we're going into that analysis. But there's also certain like regulations that need to be met for like supply chain entities. And so you might also see like the regulators becoming involved as users there too.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any additional speaking points that you want to hit regarding the ports?
I mean, I'll make a shameless plug for BDO. I really love it here. I did just start, so I am, you know, fresh on the block too, but I think it's an amazing company. And I love my team. I love the people that I've met so far and, you know, continue to get to know people. It's definitely been interesting going from management consulting to auditing, but, you know, I know I really wanted to get into audit. I really wanted to do accounting. And so I'm really glad to be here now and really appreciate, you know, you having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I liked about your pro, like I did a little research on your LinkedIn profile, and you consider yourself a lover of learning and an advocate of thinking. So I think this episode ties nicely into, you know, the mission that you have for yourself.
Yep, for sure. Learning so much at BDO. That was one of the things that really stood out for me. Their insights, it's amazing. And it's really thoughtful, you know, the work that they put into it and, you know, automating things as well.
Great. So any last thoughts before I close it out?
No, just thank you again so much. You know, Eddie, we also met through RUSA, which is the Rutgers University Student Assembly, which was an amazing experience, you know, being involved in various committees, being like elected. So I'm just really happy that, you know, we have our sort of different walks of life and, you know, we're checking in with each other and that kind of thing and staying in contact. And I'm so excited to see, you know, the growth minders, whoever they might have questions, they can always reach out to me if they want. They can also look at the video website for more information about SOC reporting. But, you know, I'm just really happy to be on and thank you so much.
Absolutely. So we'll close it out. This was Growth Minded. I was joined today by Scholastica Okoye, and we were speaking on SOC reporting for the average person. I hope that everyone's ready for their CPA exam. So next month. All right. Thanks again.
Thanks.